What is the truth? The banishment of false doctrines. The word banish means to expel from or relegate to a country or place by authoritative decree. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The word ambassador means an authorized messenger or representative. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we're told, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The root verse for exposing false doctrines. Question: do you believe that all Scripture is inspired by God and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness? If you answered no, then you are an unbeliever, and your fate is Revelation 21:8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." On behalf of Christ, as an ambassador of the King, I hereby banish all false doctrines to eternal damnation in the lake of fire, where there the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. If you answered yes to the above question, I will now expose all false doctrines. In Hebrews chapter 4:12, we're told, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's dive straight into the heart of the matter. If all Scripture is inspired by God, and all Scripture is, as we have now read, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, we will now insert Acts chapter 2, 37 through 39. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." In verse 37, the men asked Apostle Peter and the rest of the apostles what they must do, since they had crucified the Messiah. In verse 38, Apostle Peter gave the answer of what all must do in order to have their sins remitted. In verse 39, he tells us this promise is to everyone, from then, even unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Every doctrine that teaches you that you are saved after you repent and ask Jesus into your life is false. Verse 38 very clearly tells us that you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. The word remission means to pardon, forgiveness, as of sins or offenses. To further back this, we see it explained again in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine." That means you cannot omit something you do not understand to make it fit your belief system. Such as saying, Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This was an epistle written to a church that already followed the Acts of the Apostles and had been baptized in Jesus' name. To compare this scripture to Acts 2:38 or Colossians 2:11-14 is to reject both accounts given to you. On the other hand, Romans 10:13 can work when you admit it was an epistle written unto an established church and doctrine that already had partook of Acts 2:38. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Every doctrine that teaches you that you must be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and that you cannot trust the apostles, but we must do what Jesus told us according to Matthew 28:19, is false. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This includes both Matthew 28 and 19 and Acts 2 and 38. To ignore or omit Acts 2:38 and all accounts of the baptism in the book of Acts goes against 2 Timothy 3:16 that tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine. Jesus is the one who gave the apostle the instructions of what to preach in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Luke chapter 24, verses 45-49. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Verse 47, Jesus Christ clearly tells his apostles to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. So to obey Jesus Christ, you cannot ignore what he told his apostles to preach, nor can you omit what his apostles taught. If you do, you are partaking of a false doctrine. In John 17 and 6, Jesus says, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." And again in John 17 and 26, Jesus says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." That name that Jesus manifested and declared was Jesus. So to fulfill what Jesus spoke both in Matthew 28:19 and in Luke 24:47, since Jesus gave both instructions, was exactly what Apostle Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, which was Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Since Jesus tells us to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and then Jesus tells his apostles repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and Apostle Peter with the other 11 apostles, after receiving the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem, then told all that were gathered around what they must do, which was repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We then can conclude that the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. In 1 John 5 and 7, it reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." These three are one, not one made up of three. In John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Father is God, the Word is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. and all three are one God. Not one God made up of three distinct personages. In Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So we can conclude, as John spoke, that there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. And in Deuteronomy, we learn from God Himself that He is one Lord. We can conclude that His name is Jesus, as the apostles instructed in fulfilling Matthew 28:19 in Acts 2:38. In John 14, verses 16 through 18, Jesus speaking, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Here Jesus very specifically has told us that He will not leave us comfortless, that He is the Comforter. Jesus, then, is the Comforter, as He just stated. And Jesus, the Comforter, is the Holy Ghost. In John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." 2 Timothy 3:16 again, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Every doctrine that teaches you that you receive the Spirit after you have repented, or it automatically happens after you are baptized according to Acts 2:38, or that is not evidenced with speaking in another tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance, is false. Acts 5:32, "And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." In Acts chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet He was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Here we see plainly that the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen on those who were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again in Acts 19:3-6, "And He said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on Him which should come after Him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." In verse 6 again, we see that it was not until the Apostle Paul had laid hands upon them that they received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was above all, and through all, and in you all." In Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven."